Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
And here we go. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
This is our Week 17 edition, wrapping up the 2019 regular season. The Patriots are coming off. I mean, this is the number one note that I wrote down during the game. This is their best performance of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, biggest win of the year at the, you know, at this point.
Biggest win of the year. We said we got on here last week, and one of the main things we harped on is that they had to win the turnover battle,
and they lost it.
They didn't get any takeaways. They turned the ball over on the opening possession. Thank you, Rex Burkhead. He turned it around right after that, but they were able to not get a takeaway and get the win for the first time this year. They've gotten a takeaway in every other game except for the Texans game.
Yeah. I mean, you going into this game, if you said, hey, we're going to lose the turnover battle, you're going to turn the ball over once, get stopped on a fourth down, and not get any turnovers, what would you have said? I probably would have said that we would lose.
I would have said, totally, it's over. Yeah.
Like, no chance, but that just shows what type of game this was and that they can win that type of game. I mean, it's, you know, for the division, essentially, I mean, as long as you secure things in Miami or in, you know, next week with Miami, you get a bye. So there was a lot of shit on the line for this game.
And they came through. They had 39 minutes time of possession. They had the ball almost the entire game. And a lot of that has to do with the defense winning on third down. But a lot of it was the offense just keeping drives going. And you know, they had five scoring drives, only two punts. Brady looked really sharp a week after looking really shaky accuracy-wise. Awesome.
Yep.
And then, I mean, well, let's go back to your common refrain, coaching. How do you feel about McDaniels in this game?
Yeah, you finally saw some schemes. You know, a lot of movement on the line. You had Rex Burkhead, James White in the backfield at the same time. I mean, that caused problems for them. Landon Roberts, you got to say, the guy can block.
Totally.
He can finally block. So I think this game is a culmination of the coaching finally figuring out the pieces they had and how to use them. It took long enough. The other guys that have been stepping in, you know, Isaiah Wynn has finally been playing now consistently for several weeks. He hasn't looked too great, but, you know, this week he looked pretty good. You have N'Keal Harry has finally put together four or five games where, okay, you know, now he's starting to know what he can do on the field again. His talents are starting to show through. The two tight ends being together for a few weeks. I mean, it's looked bad, but, you know, we're like, this has to come together at some point. So it kind of did, you know. Sustainable drives. We started at the one. Drove what? Drove for a field goal. I know it's only a field goal, but when's the last time we started behind the 20 and got points out of it?
I know, right? And they were able to run the ball. That was the biggest Cute. Defining thing for me offensively was that they ran the ball productively, over 4 yards a clip, 35 carries of buck 40, spread around. It was primarily Sony Michel, but Rex Burkhead looked pretty good in the run game too.
Yep, and then the running backs out of the backfield. I mean, Burkhead looked great catching the ball, you know.
The screen game is back.
I mean, and the whole thing is why we're excited is because this is against a really good defense. Yeah, like, you were talking about how good the defensive line was last week.
It's like nine players deep.
And they didn't touch Brady.
Yeah.
They got to him a little bit, but nothing didn't cause any problems, really.
Yeah, zero sacks in the game, only a couple knockdowns. And Brady didn't look flustered for most of it. And a lot of that has to do with being able to run the ball, and then you're able to do play action off of that. If anybody, we're recording this on Tuesday, Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve, everybody. The Monday night game, the Vikings and Packers last night, the Vikings got into a situation where they couldn't run the ball. They were throwing the ball every down, and the Packers were teeing off. And that's what the Patriots offense did not allow to happen on Saturday. When they're running the ball, they're keeping the defense honest, and they're able to neutralize that pass rush with some of these screen plays, some play action, and everything works better together. Did you notice that for the first, I don't know, maybe three times that they ran the jet action with N'Keal Harry, where they had handed it off to him every single time the last couple games? Like, the first three times they faked the jet action. because they knew that people had seen it already and they had a counter right off of it.
So, right, and that's kind of like what I was alluding to as well. Just all these guys in the system now we know how they can play and stuff like that, so it's coming together. I think it was definitely Josh's best game. He schemed these guys up. He found ways to get a really good defense in bad spots. And that's pretty good. That's what, I don't know, it's just weird how it all of a sudden came together. You know what I mean? It's like, it kind of, last year, I feel like, wasn't as big of a swing. It was enough of a swing, and it was more on defense, I guess. But this year, it's like, our offense was, for a couple weeks, anemic against good and bad defense.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to beat up on a shitty Cincinnati team.
Yeah, just figure, okay, maybe that works. Get a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, get some momentum rolling. In this game, they also, we didn't even mention, Marcus Cannon got knocked out of this game.
Right.
For almost half the game. Actually, for more than half the game. It was in the first half he got knocked out. Julian Edelman had to sit out almost an entire quarter, two full offensive series, after he had his head injury investigated.
Yeah. I think he was just trying to sell that pick play.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a bad call, too.
It didn't. They kept saying, the announcers kept saying, like, oh, it was clear that he braced for contact. It's like, yeah, he broke inside, saw a guy running full steam ahead.
I don't know. Right. I don't know what you're supposed to do for that. I mean, people are going to run into each other. So
I know, right. Now, defensively, they were good. They weren't as good as I thought they were.
Well, a lot of it, I thought, really came, you know, Josh Allen, you got to give him some credit. He protected the football.
I know. So weird. What happened?
Stunning. I mean, I think what he's learned is if he's going to not make the throw, he'd rather overthrow it than underthrow it. And a lot of times that has saved him, because last game, if you went back, he was trying to throw the ball over the middle of the field and it would be short sometimes or underthrown or just a bad throw. But it wasn't. Now it's like sailing over everybody. So, he's made adjustments. He's looked better since the first week. He's looked better all season. I don't think he's that good still, but he's improved.
And people seem to be pretty impressed with him. What stuck out to me in this game was how many throws he missed. We mentioned overthrowing people. I mean, just on the very basic, I don't even know their tight ends, but that dude.
That 84 or whatever.
Dawson Knox.
That big dude.
Yeah, so on the opening series of
rookie, too.
Opening series for them. He misses Dawson Knox on an easy touchdown on a corner route against Patrick Chung. Mm-hmm. At the end of the first half, he hits Dawson Knox on the corner route over Patrick Chung. And then in the second half, he misses him again.
Right.
If he hits two out of three of those plays, it's a different game.
I can't believe they didn't adjust, though, for that. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Patrick Chung
just kept getting burned on that. But what he was doing was forcing him to make the throw over his head and drop it in. And Josh Allen doesn't have that accuracy right now. He went 13 of 26 in this game.
He's wildly inaccurate. I was saying that last week, too. But he is somehow protected. It's not like he was that bad of stats and threw two or three picks. He did somehow limit that. And you can say, oh, it's just a fluke. But he's been not throwing as many picks the last few games. He's really been somehow protecting the football.
Yeah. Part of that is throwing 12 times to Cole Beasley, who was not once covered by Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, that's where you really see the Johnny Jones missing. I feel like Johnny Jones would have locked him up.
I know. Well, I was watching the game being like, why is J.C. Jackson is our big physical cornerback, and he's covering Cole Beasley, their littlest, quickest receiver.
Right.
That just didn't make any sense, but it was because Johnny Jones was out with an injury. Jason McCourty only played like two plays in this. He came back off a groin injury and once again was a non-factor, not able to go out there. So it was really, we're down to J.C. Jackson and Jawan Williams, and Jawan Williams is even bigger than J.C. Jackson is.
Right.
So it's like he was in a really tough spot, and,
they should have just started doubling him or something. I mean, I can't believe they let him get away with. He was really their only offense.
He was all they had offensively. Yeah, that was another thing we didn't even mention. Their running game was non-existent, and the Bills were beating us up with the running game in the first matchup. Devin Singletary's tough to bring down. I'm surprised Frank Gore didn't get a chance.
I know. He's the one that tore us up last game, too.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Singletary. He's got some juice, but Frank Gore was too much for us to handle the first time around. I'm surprised he didn't get more of an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just dumb coaching on their side. But, yes.
2 of 11 on third downs is what they held him to. 2 of 11.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Which is actually pretty close to our season average.
Yeah.
Isn't that
pretty
insane?
Good?
This defense is ridiculous.
I mean, they gave up those two big plays. That was the problem. And we've seen them kind of do that. That's really, if there's a weakness, it's somehow the running game. But I think they might have shored that up with throwing out an extra lineman and Adam Butler out there because he's been playing a lot more against the run. So I feel like that's kind of shored things up on the running game a little bit. But, yeah.
Yeah. They're averaging 23% third down conversions allowed by this defense. 23%.
That's pretty impressive.
That's,
you know,
2 out of 9 on average.
Yeah. That's really impressive.
It's a joke. You want to hear another fun stat? The Patriots have scored exactly twice as many points this season as they have allowed.
Wow.
Exactly twice as many.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. 7th in points scored, 1st in points against. They're turning it on at the right point. Even Nick Folk is getting in on the fun. He hit a 50-plus yarder.
I know. Who would have thought? He nailed it, too.
Yeah.
It looks good kick.
It looks good from 55.
Yeah, it was a good. I couldn't believe it. Did he go 3 for 3 in this game?
Yeah, 3 for 3.
Our kicking game is now, like, no longer a complete disaster. It's amazing.
I know. And the kick coverage game is just can't get any better.
Yeah, I mean, you literally have the two best recover guys, or, you know, in Slater and Bethel. They're just dominant. They're always there. I think one or two punts this game they didn't do as well, but I think that's because Bailey didn't kick it really high on that one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, things are coming together. It's pretty damn good. My only gripe during the game, and it's really on the offense, is Mohamed Sanu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what this guy is doing, or if he is that hurt or what, because he's just not really playing that well at all.
Yeah, one of the main things we said when they traded for him, and this is how we rationalized them trading for Mohamed Sanu over Emmanuel Sanders when both were available.
Yeah.
It's because we said Mohamed Sanu can block. And remember the 4th and 1 play, they try to run the jet sweep
exactly,
and the
Kiel
Harry, and
that's where I was going.
Mohamed Sanu is like a matador out there. He just completely olays the defender who flips N'Keal Harry. I mean,
yeah, and if he made that block, N'Keal could have beat the next guy. He probably, once you got going.
Well, it's easily a first down.
Easily a first down and more.
And what ended up happening was the Bills get the ball back with 40 seconds or whatever it was in the second quarter, and they go down and they score a touchdown right before halftime. Changes the complexion of the game.
Yeah.
And it's all because he completely whiffed on his block. I don't know what he was doing out there. He, like, looked inside and then jumped to the outside, and the guy came in. But it was Tom Brady blocked better today in this game than Mohamed Sanu did.
Yeah, and he did it a few times. Like, there was a few plays where the run was to his side, and he didn't even get a guy. He's just kind of looking around. It's like, no, go block the dude. Like,
I don't know how he's so off. Blocking can't be that different.
He's a big guy, too. I would think he could block fine. And in the receiving game, he just really isn't doing anything.
Yeah. All I want him to do is run a crossing route at the sticks. That's it.
Like, yeah. All I expect out of the guy is, like, five receptions for 55 yards.
And
it's like, if you got that every
downs.
Yeah, and if you got that every game, that's all you need.
That
you don't need much.
That and blocking. Oh, do you know who blocked their ass off today? In this game, I keep saying today because this is so fresh. N'Keal Harry blocked great.
Yeah.
He pancaked a couple people. He got in Tre'Davious White's head.
Face. Yeah, he blew him off the ball.
And he's like, the guy's fighting back. He's trying to slap at him, and he's getting all pissed. It's like, that's their best. That's the best player on their entire team, and our rookie's getting in his head.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, he's a big dude. I think he's realizing he can use his size. Took him a little while, but that's what's happening. And he even said that. They asked him, you know, what does the team expect from you? Or going into this game, what did you expect to do? And he's like, honestly, just be physical, use my size, and just, you know, beat up on the other guys. It's like, you don't usually hear that from a wide receiver.
Right. Well, he's built to do that.
That's what I mean. And it's like, that's not usually what the receivers are doing, but they're like, okay, he's big. He's not this burner or whatever. You got to use his size. So,
yeah.
I figured that's what they knew they drafted, but, you know, maybe it took them a little while to realize how to use that.
6'4", 225, get it done. Let's see. Oh, I had one other stat on this team, which is outstanding. We are number one in the NFL in starting field position for our offense, which, once again, goes to the kicking game and also the defense pinning people back.
Yeah.
And then we are, at the same time, number one in opposing field position, opposing starting field position. So we're pinning people back, and we're starting away from our own goal line. We're the best in the league at both.
Wow.
That's special teams dominance.
Yeah, pretty damn good.
Impressive, impressive. Okay.
Awesome.
Before we move on to some of the other games from last weekend and next weekend, last week they announced the Pro Bowl roster.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over this real quick because I have a couple gripes. Guess who I think got snubbed? Patriots. But so the Pro Bowl is selected. There's a third of the vote is fan votes, a third of the votes are coaches' input, and a third are from the players themselves. So it's, you know, I don't know who to blame in any of these things, but the Pro Bowl, more than, I don't really know anything about any word, but it just feels like it's all about reputation. It has almost no bearing on what happened this season. There's like a 2-year lag before you get Pro Bowl consideration for doing good.
Yeah.
So this year, the Patriots selected were Matthew Slater, Dante mm-hmm. Hightower, Stephon Gilmore, all deserving. I personally would have taken Van Noy or Collins over Hightower. I just feel like those guys have been even better this year, but it's not like that's not a knock against High. I just think those two have been making great plays.
I feel like Hightower, he's just, there's something about him when he's on the field that's different.
Yeah,
I think. I think I'm happy he made it over those two. I mean, I feel like one of them should have made it, or both of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Guy got completely snubbed.
Well, yeah, you knew he wasn't going to get any looks.
No, yeah, no one knows about him.
So for the linebacker that could have been replaced, Von Miller gets in, and Von Miller's a big name. Guess how many sacks he has this year?
No idea.
Seven.
Pedestrian.
Seven.
How long has he even been playing the whole time?
I don't know, but he's got seven sacks, not one forced fumble, no interceptions.
Yeah.
Whereas Van Noy has 6.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown. Jamie's got 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown.
And it's just been better. Like, well, he's on a better team, but yeah.
And he does more. He just mm-hmm. he has a wider impact on the game. Also, defensively, J.C. Jackson is, this is, some of these stats are from last week. These are before the week 16. J.C. Jackson was tied for third in the league with 5 interceptions, behind only Stephon Gilmore, Tre'Davious White, both in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
He has an opposing passer rating of 28.6 when he's targeted. This is before the Cole Beasley game, which was good enough for best in the league. Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, the two Ravens cornerbacks.
Peters should just not be there.
Marcus Peters played 4 games.
Flat out shouldn't be there. Well, he sucked in L.A.
He sucked in L.A., yeah. And Jalen Ramsey made it, too. And he basically didn't play in Jacksonville. I mean, how many games do you have to play competently to make it to the Pro Bowl? Marcus Peters opposing passer rating 67.4. Marlon Humphrey 81.1. J.C. Jackson, not even a look, 28.6.
Wow.
Yeah. Offensively, really chaps my hide that Julian Edelman doesn't make the Pro Bowl. And the reason is, I think, the numbers bear out that he belongs there. The eye test definitely bears it out. The guy's getting double teamed like every game the second half of the season. He's playing through injuries. He's the only weapon on the offense still producing. Here are his stats. This is last week. 92 catches, 1,019 yards, good enough for second in the entire NFL in catches. No, second in the AFC in catches, behind only DeAndre Hopkins. 6 TDs. He's fourth in the AFC in yardage. Whereas Jarvis Landry, who makes it, has 74 catches for 1,018 yards, very similar, 5 TDs, where Jules has more yards, more catches, more TDs. And also Tyreek Hill makes it, and I know he missed some time, but he has fewer yards per game than Jules on average.
Yeah, they're just names.
Tyreek Hill's only got 62% completions. Jules is 65%. I mean, just nothing makes sense about why those guys made it. Oh, did I mention that Julian Edelman is the only offensive weapon on a 11-3 team as of last week?
Yeah.
Where Jarvis Landry is the go-to guy on a team that's not even going to make 500.
Like, yeah, that's the Pro Bowl voting. They always do this shit.
I know, but it's important because whenever, you know how they talked about Jules' Hall of Fame candidacy?
Right, he has no Pro Bowls.
He's never made a Pro Bowl. Well, he just got snubbed. He clearly belonged.
Yeah, right, exactly. The other thing that kills me, too, is Earl Thomas. It's like, he has not been good. He's made a couple impact plays, but overall, he is, right?
Yeah.
Is that just me? I mean, he's not that good.
I'm really
surprised he and Matt Judon. I know he's been playing well, but I'm surprised he got so much attention.
Right? Yeah. He's like one of the only no-name guys.
Right.
When I was looking through it, the amount of first-round picks on the team, it's like 90% of the players were first-round picks. Like they are names.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy. Like first round. That's why Hightower's in there instead of Jamie or Van Noy. That's what I think.
Interesting.
Anywho, okay. That's the Pro Bowl. It means nothing. They weren't going to play anyway.
Yeah, they're not going to play.
So some of the other games from this weekend. I guess first for AFC seeding, Texans wrap up the division with the win. Jameis is hilarious. Four interceptions.
Did he throw four interceptions?
Yeah, he threw four picks. The Titans, who I thought the Titans were going to beat the Saints. It was an outdoor game. Felt that the Saints were coming off a big win. And it was really close. I think the Titans got hosed with a no call at the end of the fourth quarter. But the Titans drop a game, and so they were on the verge of getting bumped out of the playoffs. But the Steelers go down to the Jets.
Did the Steelers lose? I didn't even see that. They really lost to the Jets?
They lost to the Jets. They start Duck Hodges. He throws two interceptions. They put Mason Rudolph in. Still lose the game. Now Rudolph's out for like 3 weeks, so Duck's back in. Yeah, it's a mess. The Steelers are going in. I don't know where the game is, but they're playing Baltimore next week, and the Ravens are going to sit every. So the Steelers have a good chance, but they need the Titans to lose in order for the Steelers to get into the playoffs. And the Titans are playing the Texans, who have nothing to play for, essentially. So it's probably.
They don't have a chance at the.
They have a chance at the three seed. The Texans do.
Well, I mean, there is a chance they get the two seed.
No, the Texans.
Both teams loses. Oh, yeah. The
Texans came
Okay. No. Gotcha. Yeah.
So the good thing for the Texans is the Chiefs are the only team they could leapfrog in the seeding, and the Chiefs play the early game. And so the Texans can wait until they see how the Chiefs play in their opening game.
Well, that's what I mean. If they lose and then the Patriots somehow lose, they technically could go to two.
No, they couldn't because the Pats have a two-game lead on them. Even though they have the head-to-head tiebreaker, they max out at 11 wins.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Whereas the Pats max out, or minimum is 12 wins. So
if
the Chiefs win in the early game, then the Texans won't play anybody, I wouldn't expect. And the Titans are going to walk to that win and get in as the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's probably going to play out.
Yeah,
I know. So then it'll be Titans going into Kansas City and wild card,
which is what you wanted, right?
I mean, ideally, I would like the Texans at the three seed, just so if the Texans won, we would play them, and then the Chiefs and Ravens can deal with each other. But if the Chiefs are going to be the three seed, it seems to me they're going to be. Then I want the best competition for them in the opening game, and that seems like the Titans.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting. I mean, the Chiefs. If we got the Chiefs in town, if you have to go to Baltimore, though, do you think Houston could go to Baltimore and win? Do you think there's any chance?
No chance.
None.
Yeah. I think Kansas City has the best chance of beating Baltimore, but
or us, of course. But yeah,
or
but
us.
It seems like it's gonna go through Baltimore, which haven't we spoiled that at least twice?
You mean beating them in like a conference championship game?
Yeah, I thought we beat them in Baltimore 1 year. No, was it always in New England?
It was always in New England.
Where they missed the kick.
Yeah, that was the conference championship game in 2011.
That was in New England?
Yeah, and they responded by cutting that guy and drafting Justin Tucker. That worked out.
It did.
Best kicker ever.
It did.
That seems to be the way things are going to play out in the AFC. Now, in the NFC, you got Philly beats Dallas.
Dallas is atrocious, dude.
I don't know if I've seen a worse coach team. I mean, the Browns are up there.
Well, you see Odell Beckham flipped out on Freddie Kitchens last week after a pick or something, after they threw a pick or something.
Yeah.
Whatever happened.
I don't know. That guy just seems like a nightmare to coach.
But it's also, I would also bet that Freddie Kitchens is wildly incompetent.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's probably to some degree warranted that, like, dude, what are you doing? They got so much talent over there.
Yeah. Did you know that the Raiders could make the playoffs?
Yeah, right.
Still alive.
If the Titans and the Steelers lose, right?
Right. Titans lose, Steelers lose, Raiders have to win, and then the Colts have to beat the Jaguars.
Why do the Colts have to beat the Jaguars? Oh.
I think it's a strength of schedule thing or something, common game.
So they need a four-way tie at 8-8 for the Raiders to get in?
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild. That somehow boils down to them making the playoffs. playoffs.
Isn't that funny?
That's pretty good. Yeah. That is pretty good.
That would be amazing. But I guess if we're talking about the Patriots in Week 17, that would be the Dolphins. This is, I don't know if you guys heard Belichick in the post-game speech he gave, but he was talking about how this is a playoff game. If we win this game, we get a bye week. Basically, we get a playoff win.
Yeah, so literally.
He's framing it the right way for them, for everybody to take it seriously. I know it's the middle of a holiday week, and so I'm sure the players and coaches will have some time off. But every team's going to be dealing with that. It's not like the Dolphins be burning the midnight oil
to try to beat the Patriots this weekend in a game that really can only hurt the Dolphins if they win it in terms of draft position. But a lot to look forward to this weekend. Week 17, the regular season is wrapping up. Best game of the weekend is definitely going to be the 49ers and Seahawks. Look for the Niners to win that game because they have way more people than they did in the first matchup against Seattle. In that game, they were missing their two starting tackles. I don't think George Kittle even played. So it's a different San Francisco team. They're battle-tested now. I think they're going to go in there and beat Seattle in a game that should be close, should be entertaining. But the Seahawks haven't been the same team at home this year. In fact, they have a better record on the road for the first time in a long time. So, that's it for us here. Enjoy Week 17. Thank you all for tuning in. Let's hope the Patriots can cash this one in and move on to a first-round bye. All right, see you later.